posting itself is scary. Putting a lot of work and effort into a video and flopping, I hate it. But at the same time, you just gotta get used to it, bro. And I always tell people, you gotta fail forward. You learn as you go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Athlete Country Club. I'm your host, Marcus McMarron. I'm extremely excited about our guest today. Ramel Dockery is one of the most, influential content creators in sports. He's collaborated with global brands like Oakley, worked with the NFL, and partnered with countless professional athletes. But beyond the social media numbers, Ramel's he's a pioneer. One of the original athletes who pushed back against the NCAA restrictions on monetization, what athletes, truly kind of take for granted today under NIL. Ramel was already fighting back for that back in college. So, Doc, appreciate you taking a little bit of time today, brother.
Yes, sir. Of course. Appreciate you having me, bro.
Yeah, no doubt, brother. No doubt. And yeah, I just wanted to kind of open on that note. Just a lot of people don't know, but you were one of the early athletes trying to monetize your YouTube videos in college, only to be told by the NCAA that you'd lose your eligibility if you did. What do you kind of remember about that moment or just that kind of time in your life?
Yeah, bro. It was crazy for me. I had a passion for it already. So, I was at that point where I was kind of standing on business and, I was getting heat from Coach Brennan. Oh my goodness, bro. I remember I posted a couple of videos and I walked in to meetings one morning and Coach Brennan was like, "What's this YouTube stuff that I'm hearing about?" And I was like, "Oh, damn." And so Coach Brennan started giving me heat. He was like, "Just make sure it's not a problem." And the problem was, bro, we could post videos, but we couldn't make money from it. So we had to either demonetize all the videos or just, wait until, that senior year came around, which I did. I stacked all my videos and then I waited for my senior year and then posted everything. And then that's kind of how it started. But yeah, it was hard, bro, especially like we was talking about earlier where, some people were just like, they didn't really know the potential of it. And so they kind of saw it as something that was like, I don't know, some people made fun of it, I know my parents, they didn't take it serious. They didn't think it was anything serious, but I saw the potential behind it. And, like I said, I had a passion for it, so it was cool, bro.
Yeah. Stuck with it. What were some of those, just key things that you saw on YouTube? Because at the time, honestly, even me, I was your teammate at the time, and I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. He's doing YouTube. And we kind of joked off camera when people were like, oh, yeah, he's good at Call of Duty. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm pretty good at Call of Duty too, But then, watching all the trick shots, it was unreal, the stuff you're doing. If you guys haven't watched, go to his YouTube. Literally go back all the way back to all this
stuff. Watch the trick shot videos.
But kind of just talk about what did you see in YouTube? Because at the time when you started, it was growing, but it's nowhere near what it was today. Like people jumping into YouTube now, they see it. But what did you see at the time?
Yeah, so, going way back, bro, I've always had a passion for just content creating, even before YouTube was big and TikTok, even before TikTok and Instagram, Vine, back to the Vine days where I was creating, videos. And I just remember when I got to college, I was kind of going through, personal things. I was at a really, really low point in my life. I don't think anybody really knew, which is why I never went out to parties, bro. You never see me at parties, never drink, never smoked. I was just in my room depressed and just trying to figure out my own life. And the reason why I was in that position was because for me, I've always been that person that's been taking care of my family. And so all my checks and stuff that I get from my scholarships, I would send back home and, I'd even sacrifice eating sometimes, bro. It was really dark for me. And I remember I'd be on my phone a lot, scrolling just on YouTube, and I would see these kids that were driving Lambos and Ferraris and stuff. And I was like, bro, that's crazy. What are they doing? And so that's how I got into the Call of Duty scene. I was always a gamer at heart, too. And so I started seeing them doing these crazy things on Call of Duty, spinning with snipers and trick shots and stuff. And then I found out there was a community for it. And ended up becoming one of the biggest, this team known as the FaZe Clan now, which they were like worldwide, multi, maybe billion-dollar company. But I was playing with them. I got into this community and I started gaming with them because I wanted to network and see how they were building like their YouTubes and how they were creating like this content online and stuff. And so I actually got into their group, their friend group, and they started teaching me how to make YouTube videos. It started off with like Call of Duty montages. They were teaching me like how to cut up, like what to use to edit, what to use to record. And so I was gaming with all these guys, bro, before they even blew up and became a thing. Some of them even came, like the leader of FaZe, he came to our Michigan game. But I had these guys pulling up to like our games, bro, and they would bring me like scuff controllers and stuff. And so I was doing all this on the back end, but I saw the potential just from like scrolling on my phone, you know. And then I just started networking, told them like I played college football, and then they kind of took me in and started teaching me. That's how it started, bro.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I mean, it honestly sounds like, I mean, you were just like genuinely just curious about it. Obviously kind of started with your passion for it, but then you got curious about it, kind of figured it out. But what I thought is interesting kind of about that story is you kind of talked about, you saw the Lambos and you saw the Ferraris and you kind of saw that the lucrative side of things. But talk about just kind of your perspective on that, because I think a lot of people see that and they might have an ill intent towards it, like, oh, these people are showboats, and they think almost on the opposite spectrum. But you are more, what led to you having more of a growth mindset and wanting to pursue something like that?
Yeah, bro, I think at an early time for most athletes, you know, I'm thankful and I'm blessed because I had that mindset to where I wasn't going to let football define me anymore. I started thinking about that when, you know, I committed to Wazoo, played up until the season. I was like going to start and everything. I hurt my ankle and I came back to the bottom of the depth chart. So I ended up like giving up. I went through a coaching change too at Wazoo and they switched me to corner. That's the opposite of what I play. I was already like kind of like, you know, it's like you switching to fucking safety, bro.
Yeah.
So I was already kind of like low. I ended up leaving Wazoo to come to Oregon State because Coach Riley was there and he wanted me to play receiver. And so, you know, you kind of know my story, bro. I came to Oregon State, balled out my first year, and then our whole coaching staff got fired again. And so I was kind of put in the same position where they switched me to corner, opposite of what I play. Had no desire to even play corner, but I tried to make it work. And then through that transition is when I started realizing, you know, like I can't just let football define me. I want to be more than football. I want to be bigger than, you know, just, I don't want people to see me as a football player. And so I started seeing these people online building their personal brands, creating like an income for themselves. And for me, I've always been a person of like faith. And so, you know, I took a leap, bro, and I was just like, I'm going to sacrifice some time like partying and going out and hanging out with friends to learn how to build this thing online, because I was kind of looking ahead at this point, bro. And like I said, I was playing football to be able to provide for my family. And so once I saw this other way of, you know, building some type of income that I could do, I just wanted to start it early. And so I started building it, bro. And then that's when like the mix came in between like the NCAA and the NIL stuff. And so I was just working around that. But for me, I just saw it as, you know, another way to take care of my family, not like the Lambos and stuff. Like that's cool and everything. But I'm like, how are these people making this much money? So I need to figure out how to do it too.
Yeah, no. And I know kind of just that whole, you talk about the NCAA kind of coming in towards the end of that. And just kind of looking back on kind of that entire situation. I mean, there was a UCF kicker at the time too, was kind of involved in all the stuff that was going on. So he was kind of in the mix of it, getting a lot of attention, but you were right there in the same conversation. I mean, like, how were you involved in that moment? And I mean, what was your perspective at the time with all that going on?
Yeah. So I was, at that point, bro, it was me It was literally just me and Destroying, bro. And Destroying actually reached out to me for advice. And he DM'd me and he was like, "Hey, bro, I see you posting like these YouTube videos and whatever." Because at first, remember, I told you it started as Call of Duty content. So I was just like vlogging Call of Duty stuff. Wasn't even about football. And I started mixing football in. So Destroying hit me and he asked me for advice. And I told him, bro, I was like, "Look, bro, this is what I'm doing. You can do your own thing. Like, you can either post your videos and lose your scholarship, or you can just like wait until you're done and then make everything public." But he decided to just start posting his videos, and I actually had to enlist some of mine, like take some of mine off because Coach Brennan was giving me some heat about it. And yeah, Destroying, he embraced it, bro, and it actually worked out in his favor. A lot of people started supporting him. But then again, he lost his eligibility to play college football. And so, I wasn't willing to lose my scholarship over that. And so that's why I waited to my senior year. But yeah, bro, that whole scene was just crazy because we were starting that movement,
No, and looking back, I mean, I know you're a humble guy too, so I'm gonna try to tee you up to, I hope you take some credit for this, but looking back now, I mean, do you feel like you helped kickstart what would eventually become NIL in college sports?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not gonna say I take all the credit, but I will say that the fruit and labor that I have today is and I set myself up to where I am today is because of those seeds that I planted back at Oregon State. And I think, like the just like the brand and everything that I've built that I have today is a reflection of that. And it's a blessing. At the end of the day, I'm not going to take credit for starting the whole movement and everything, but I will say that I'm thankful that I did set myself up to be where I am today, for sure.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, if you were back in high school or college today, I mean, how would you prepare yourself to be successful in this new NIL era?
Oh my goodness, bro, it's crazy because it's something that I've been I've been somebody who's not always wanted to be in the spotlight. Like I have millions of followers and it's cool and everything. But as like I've always had my helmet on for a reason. I never wanted to go out and not be able to like shop or not be able to like enjoy time with my family. I've always wanted to just like be behind the scenes and give back. And even through all my content, in all my videos, I've always preached to kids like how to move forward and how to deal with adversity. And so for me to have this platform, I've actually been replacing myself with giving other athletes the spotlight on my channel. So if you go on my page now, it's all the daily lives of other athletes, and I'm letting all these other athletes share their story and be able to get used to being on camera because it's so powerful, bro. Building your personal brand, and I would just say that just that alone, athletes nowadays need to just focus on building their personal brand. It's so valuable, bro. And I think it's so easy too. You just have to know the system and how it works. I'm actually building an online course that's catered to athletes, and I've been working on it with I don't know, have you heard of The Muscle?
No.
He's a if you do some research on him, bro, you'll see he's you'll probably see some of his videos are like familiar. But
Okay.
yeah, I've been working on this online course, bro, but I would say I would encourage athletes to start building their personal brand, and if they don't know how, then find something to plug into. Quick story, bro, we went out to Dubai like a month or 2 months ago, and just to kind of give you perspective on this personal brand stuff, we went out there, bro. We didn't know anybody. I knew like this one dude on social media. He's made like over 100 mil just from like social media, and he's Polynesian, so he was hella cool. He was every Polynesian that meet each other, they're always cool. And so we flew out there. He let us stay at his crib, bro. He's like a almost a bi I'd say he's a billionaire. He probably wouldn't say it, but he's a billionaire, bro. And he took us in. He showed us like his penthouse and everything. Showed us like all his cars and just took us in. And we actually set up this a day in a life with him. So we shot a whole day in a life with him. He's going to be in the series. And then I had this guy hit me up out there, and he invited me to the zoo. So we went to the zoo, and we took him there to make it part of his day in a life. But it was actually like for me. And so we pulled up to the gate, and bro got so excited. He was like mind blown. He was like, "Bro, this is a royal family member's house, bro." It wasn't even a zoo. It was a zoo, but it was somebody's backyard, bro. It had every animal in there. They had a whole like all these workers that were like taking care of us, driving us around. And then when we drove around, we saw like the dude's house in the background. We were like, mind blown, bro. It was crazy. But then we were asking the people, we're like, "How do you get in here? Like, how much does it cost?" And they're like, "You can't pay to get in here. You have to know somebody." And so, bro, because we had a following, and because, like, it's just like that's just the way the world is moving now. And Dubai is all about, how Dubai is, bro. They're all about like the future and everything. And we were able to tap into so many conversations out there just because we had a following on social media, just because we knew how to build like our own personal brands. And it was so easy to network and connect with people out there. And that's all they were talking about. All these millionaires, and we met like three billionaires while we were out there. All of them said the same thing. It's so important to have a presence and just build a personal brand. And even looking at some NFL players like Juju, bro, Juju, he probably wouldn't mind if I said this, but he's made way more, in my opinion. I'll just say, in my opinion, he's made way more from social media than he has is in the NFL. And it's like that probably with Tom Brady too. Looking at Tom Brady, he's now look at what he's doing. He's probably making more money chilling and making these videos, you know what I mean? And then you look at the streamers, bro. Look at like it's just the way the world's moving now. And so that's all I'd say, bro, is encourage these athletes now to try to build their personal brand for sure.
No, I mean, how should a college athlete, in your opinion, how should an athlete be investing their time into social media? For context of it, maybe I'm at a Division one school, big school. I'm traveling with the team. I'm playing a little bit here and there. Maybe I'm a starter, but I'm shy or I'm an introvert. I only have a couple thousand followers, and I'm just like, oh, that's for people who have 50,000 followers. Like, what would your advice be to that person that, hey, I'm shy, I'm an introvert, but how do they get that kind of ball rolling for social media?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a lot of different niches. Like, you don't always have to be in front of the camera. Like I said, bro, I don't like being in front of the camera, so I wear my helmet. There's a lot of people who react to clips. They just sit there. They don't have to like give their personality out. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different ways, but I feel like there's different lanes that you can choose from that fit you most comfortably in. Even if there's not, there's I mean, I created my own lane, bro. You know what I mean? And so I'd say it's definitely possible. They just have to want it. But also too, just to looking back on my career, bro, if I was all in on just one thing like football, then I would have missed out on this blessing, bro. Because looking at my following, I remember when I hit 100,000, I was probably the most depressed I've ever been in my life on YouTube, and I was going through the football situation. And that was after Oregon State, where I was transitioning to like, damn, what do I do now with my life? You know what I mean? That was the hardest transition for me. But also those seeds that I planted started coming to fruition, and I was like, damn, I had to look at it differently, bro. I was like, damn, God just gave me my own NFL stadium. So it's like I'm over here depressed about what? Like, God gave me my own stadium. Of people now, I can just build off of this, and so I think it's all about looking at it from a different perspective. And but in reality, I'd say, yeah, you can choose whatever you want to do, and if you need help, there's people that would help you. And then there's also a bunch of athletes too that are doing it that are really good at building their personal brands.
No, and it's definitely a I mean, I don't think there's necessarily a blueprint on this is exactly how every single person should do it. But I mean, like in your opinion and what you've accomplished, I mean, what mistakes do you see athletes making when it comes to NIL and branding themselves?
A mistake that I see, maybe representation. I've known a lot of people who have been taken advantage of, which they probably wouldn't see it. They probably see the marketing as more of an opportunity. But you got to realize, like, athletes got to realize at some point, and even we were realizing this in college, bro. Like, we were like, we're bringing millions into the school. Like, it don't make
Yeah.
no sense. You know what
Yeah.
I mean?
Like I got
And so,
$100 at the end of the month,
exactly, bro.
huh?
So that's what I'm like, what are we talking about? And so I think that's what athletes got to realize, like, they're worth millions. They're worth way more than they think they are. And treat yourself like a business, bro. And just realize, like, you can. So yeah, I would probably just say representation, making sure
Yeah.
they have good representation and they're not just doing stuff for free, just to, like, make you know. And they have the money to give, and there's so much money in this space for everybody to eat.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I took a little time. I got kind of transitioned a little bit, but for context, I don't know if you know this. I just found this out, but only 0.37, so not even 1%, not a half a percent of a half a percent, 0.37 of Instagram users have over 1 million followers. So you're in like less
Man.
than the 1% category. So obviously you're an elite kind of company. You've built this massive following. Like, what's your
That's crazy.
philosophy towards social media that makes someone successful over time?
I think it's kind of like, it's just like football, bro. It is, what you put in is what you get out. And if you wake up every day and you have 24 hours, like, what is an hour towards that? It's nothing. So it's like, if you take an hour out of your day to shoot something, cut it up, edit it, and post, that consistency over time. And then there's, it's deeper, bro, because I mean, it goes to, like, even this, but, like, posting itself is scary. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
putting a lot of work and effort into a video and then it not and flopping, it's the worst feeling. Like, that shit, I hate it. But at the same time, you just gotta get used to it, bro. And I always tell people, you gotta fail forward. You gotta get used to just failing forward, bro. You learn as you go. And so you can't learn if you don't post. You just gotta post. And so just consistency, bro. Posting, but just not just posting anything, like, actually taking the time to invest into learning about the algorithms, the trends, seeing what works and what doesn't work. If something doesn't work, don't keep doing the same thing, you know what I mean? And be open to changing your content, and being open to, making changes yourself if you really want to grow.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a huge lesson too. It's funny you mentioned that. I mean, my wife, she's kind of on the mom talk side of like social media and stuff
Yeah, she's
like that.
going
So,
crazy.
yeah, all the kid influencer stuff and stuff like that. But same thing, man. Like she'll put all this time in the video, be like, this video is gonna be the one. Like it's gonna hit, and it'll just like completely flop. And we just kind of look at each other, and we're like, dang, what happened? You know, like I don't know. But then like props to her, and I mean you. I'm sure you've done 100 times. It's like, well, it's. Tomorrow's a new day. I gotta post another video. It's like they just kind of
Facts.
keep going, you know, just kind of keep showing up, and eventually it'll pop off. And I know we've had some conversations about this, but like, what's your approach to social media and the aspect of say if I don't know Romell Dockery and I'm like, oh yeah, that dude like Romell Dockery is an overnight success. Like what would your response be to something like that? Because we're talking about your Call of Duty videos. I just looked it up. I mean, that was 12 years ago. So a lot of people are maybe comparing your chapter 27 to their chapter one. I mean, kind of talk about that, how you've put your time in over time in this game.
Yeah, I definitely think that's just like a relationship between me and God, bro. Because whenever I do, like, I learned to deal with hate a long time ago, and I just laugh. It's kind of the same response I had to people saying, "Oh, you're doing that little YouTube," when I first started, and I just laugh, like, yeah, it's a little YouTube. I kind of just embrace it, bro. If people tell me, that happened overnight or whatever, I'll just say, yeah, you know me, I don't really care. But for somebody to that's kind of dealing with that adversity, I'd say just like focus on the people that support you. There's way more people that support you than, like even if you get 100 hate comments, bro, look at the likes on the video. You got way more people supporting you. You get a couple hate comments, but I've never really let that get to me. I think that's something that you got to get out the way to even want to grow or to even grow. It's just, just kind of like football, blocking the noise out. But yeah, bro, I definitely, I've slaved for this. You know what I mean? I put in the hours and the time, and I think that you can't really have something like that if you haven't put in the work for it. You know what I mean? So in a way, it speaks for itself. So yeah,
Yeah.
don't know if that answered your question,
No,
bro, but
it does 100%, bro. And I think the biggest thing too that kind of sparked in my head, it's like I've always my mentality, I remember being in high school. So the quarterback before me, his name was David Rico, right? Probably one of the best quarterbacks to ever go to our high school, right? And I'm supposed to be the guy that's replacing him. And one of his offensive linemen, who I won't name, basically one of my motivating factors from literally from high school, my junior year in high school, all the way through when I was with the Saints and the Raiders and the CFL, this was always an interaction that I remember, because I remember him saying to me, looking at me, saying, "We're working out, we're on the side of the weight room, it's we just finished our lift, we're about to go to our run." We're standing there and he looks me in the eyes and says, "Man, you guys would be," he's like, "You'll never replace David. You'll be lucky if you guys win three or four games." And I just remember,
man.
bro, I literally just remember thinking in my head, like, bet, like, okay, cool. So it's like, I think there is a fine line between, like, hey, sometimes you can use your haters, quote unquote, as your motivators. But then in the back of my
Facts.
head, that would fuel me on the days I felt low. But on the day-to-day basis showing up, I felt like I was always more motivated by my mom or my little sister, who put me on a pedestal, who she believed like big brother could do no wrong. Like I was like, man, I got to show up every day for my younger sister, or I got to show up for the kid in the stands who thinks
Facts.
I'm awesome and I'm amazing. So it's like knowing, like, hey, there is a fine line between letting these people motivate you, but at the same time, on a day-to-day, you have to be able to kind of prove those people that do believe in you right, more so than the opposite side of it.
That's facts, bro. Finding your why is so important, and it's exactly that. And hey, bro, I just want to take a minute out of this podcast to give you your flowers, bro, because you are cold, bro. I'd be telling everybody, man. I'd be like, because you were in the same position that a lot of us were in, and that adversity, bro, is hard. And I've seen so many great athletes just give up and not be able to, get that breakthrough. But like the adversity that you went through and that's QB situation at Oregon State, bro, I was just sitting back looking at that like, damn, I would hate to be in that situation. But like you came out on top. And then you left the school. You won the Civil War for us. And then you left. And then you started breaking records at other schools. And I was just like, oh, he's cold, bro. And so I was happy for you, bro. And it was inspiring to watch your journey for sure.
No, I appreciate that, but like you said, I
And
mean,
still.
it's one of those things too that it's even hard. I got chills even thinking about it. It's hard to put into words just like the adversity that we went through together, honestly, because we were both on scout team together. Like, we're like, man, let's stay after practice and workout. Let's go to Truex. Let's throw routes. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it's like, we were putting the work in the whole time. We just weren't, the fans weren't seeing, or we weren't able to do it in the stadium on game day. But like, man, we were showing up on, guys would have a game Saturday. We'd show up on Sunday and like, let's go throw routes. Like,
Facts.
someone could easily, I knew teammates, we had teammates who were like, well, why would I go work out? I'm not even playing right now. But we were just like, man, just keep putting the work in, keep your head down, and right back at you, bro. I think we always had a respect amongst each other, because it's like, hey, I know if I call Doc, he's ready to work, bro. I know if I call Doc, he's ready to do something,
Fact.
So it's like, there are some dudes, you call them once and they show up late, or they're like kind of doing it. It's like, man, come on, bro. I'm just trying to get some work in and get out of here,
Facts.
yeah. No, and I'll take some time out of this podcast. If you guys haven't watched this man's high school highlights,
I'll
the coldest highlights I've ever seen to date,
wait.
bro. Please, everyone take some time. It's worth the couple minute
Thank you,
watch.
bro.
Yeah, the coldest. I remember just being in the locker room, everyone's comparing highlight tapes and you're all quiet. And we're like, well, what about you, Doc? And then you're like, oh, I don't know, just whatever. And then you start having some
I'm
backup,
weak.
but no. For sure.
That's
No,
great.
but no,
Appreciate
I
you, bro.
definitely appreciate our relationship, bro. And like, I hope you're okay with me sharing this, but I remember like sitting around your pool and we're at the fire pit. It was at, when you were staying in Arizona at the time.
Oh,
You're out
yeah.
there. Yep. And we're sitting around the fire pits, me, you, and your brother. And we're just talking, and it kind of came up the topic of just like energy, belief, and surround yourself with the right people. And I mean, that really stuck with me. And it just, for you, I mean, like, where does that mindset come from? And just kind of context on that. Like, I know you're big into like energy, belief, and what you think about, you bring about. I know you even credit like Earl Nightingale, like the strangest secret. Like, kind of talk about that personal development side of things for you.
Yeah, personally, bro, for me, I've always been inspired by the story of Jesus and his disciples. And just seeing his story is just incredible, bro. And the people that didn't believe in him and then having his circle, I think was really important. I've always made that a thing where I make sure I surround myself with the right people that have the same vision and have the same goals. And then you hear like the successful people always talk about that too. And so I've always been big on that, bro. And but mainly I've just been inspired by the story of Jesus for sure.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it's even on that side of thing, obviously I'm a big believer in Christ as well, to think that someone could bring that many people in together just through storytelling. And essentially, I mean, that's what your platform is. I mean, you have a platform of telling a story, telling other people's stories, and you're doing the right thing by sharing that platform to other people. And I mean, just how is that philosophy almost kind of guided your journey? I mean, you've talked about during that conversation, and I'm trying to lean more towards that a little bit as well, is it's just, I remember you're talking about having a vision board, and I was honestly, I was really taken back from that conversation. Like, that's something that really stuck with me, because I had just completed a vision board probably a week or two prior to hanging out with you in Arizona. And I remember, like, it took me months, dude. I've heard about a vision board. I was thinking about doing a vision board, and I was like, man, this thing is kind of whack. Like, it's kind of weird. It's kind of like Fugazi kind of stuff, like weird. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I end up doing the vision board. And then literally a week later, I hang out with you and we're just sitting around, and you're like, yeah, man, we got to create like a vision board. And I'm like, there's no way this just happened. It's almost like kind of that God's divine intervention. Like, dude, this is, I was meant to sit around the fireplace with Ramel Dockery at that time for him to tell me how
That's
he
fire,
uses
bro.
a vision board. So kind of talk about just like, how does you put in your ideas and your goals down on paper? How does that actually make it come to life for you?
Yeah, I think that's just a way of showing God how serious you are about your dream. You know what I mean? And then I've always, you know, talked about how like you are who you hang around. I've always been, you know, and I have little brothers too. So I've always, you know, told them like, you're not always gonna know everything. So like, you can't be, and you know the saying how you can't be the smartest person in the room. But that's something that's always helped me too. I think, you know, also we're created in the image of our Creator, and so in our way, in ourselves, we got to see ourselves as creators, and it's powerful, bro. I've even, you know, created vision boards. And I still have vision boards. Like, I have one right there. I have one right there. I have one right there. And it's just like, it's, to me, it's just a way of, like we were doing with the football field or the football workouts, bro. We were grinding when nobody was watching. And so it's just like, how are you going to treat your dream when nobody's watching? And what are you doing to take a step forward, you know, every day? I hate the Ducks, but their quote, win the day. I live by that, bro. Like, I always try to just do something to win the day. And creating a vision board is so powerful. I've created vision boards where I put in that whole journey, bro, of like Arizona and LA. I had a vision board in my apartment room, and I had just a bunch of mansions that I loved, bro, and a bunch of like cars and stuff. And I did, this is when I was first starting with the vision boards. I guess I was like a beginner. Everything on that board came to life, bro. It was crazy. Everything on that board came to life. I even did this, you know, I started doing this in high school too, bro. Like, I would have pictures of Reggie Bush hurdling people on my binders and stuff. And then my highlight tape literally is all me hurdling a bunch of people. But then that vision board I made with all the mansions and stuff, that Arizona mansion was on my vision board in my apartment room, bro. And every house after that was too, and every, like, the cars and stuff. And it was cool. So I would say, yeah, bro, that's something that successful people do. It's something that I think you gotta, you really gotta incorporate and show God, like, how serious you're willing to take your dream. It's definitely a priority for me, for sure.
Yeah, no. So if you're listening to this, I mean, I challenge you guys to create a vision board. And then I think the overwhelming part of it is everyone thinks it has to be some complex, like, detailed thing. Like, dude, literally just print out pictures of stuff and slap them on a board,
yeah,
and call
great.
Like a couple different sections. You can make it simple. And I know, just for me personally, I'm kind of nerd out on some stuff like that. Like, there's actually a part in your brain called the reticular activating system. Essentially, it's just it's a filtering system for your brain. So basically, if you're starting to think about stuff and it's in your life and you're constantly thinking about it, say if I'm thinking about financial success, now all of a sudden when I'm out in public, I start hearing people having financial conversations where before my brain might have just blocked it out. Or the easiest comprehension
Facts.
for people is you buy some new shoes and all of a sudden some cool red Jordans or something like that. And all of a sudden you think you're a trendsetter and you start seeing them everywhere. It's like, yeah, like, as much as you want to think everyone's just copying your style, it's like, no, you just weren't aware of it,
Facts.
but now you're starting to
Facts.
see it everywhere all the time. So I think you could use that in different lights, and it's just super important. And something I've actually never shared too, you kind of got me on the topic of it. Just if you need a little bit more motivation, Ramel's talking about how everything on his board came to life. I have one particular thing. I remember I did a vision board in 2022. I didn't have a credit card or anything at the time. So I remember one of my goals was, hey, I'm going to get a credit card this year. So I literally just go to Google and I type in credit card. The first picture that comes up, I click and drag it. I print it out, put it on my vision board. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to get a credit card. And I had like 10 other things on my board. And I remember in October comes, it's kind of the end of the year, starting getting ready to create your next vision board. I'm looking at it and I have a couple credit cards at that time. I have two. And I look at it and it's a Chase Freedom card. And I look at my vision board and I kid you not, bro, it's a Chase Freedom card on my vision board. It's a blue Chase Freedom. It's exact same card,
Crazy.
exact same color. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, there's no way, dude. Like, literally, I got chills when it happened. I'm like, there's no way. I just typed in credit card. I wasn't even banking with Chase at the time. I had Bank of America. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Crazy,
When
huh?
I typed in credit card, I only had one bank. I was with Bank of America. I printed out a blue Chase Freedom card. Just so happened by the end of the year to get my first credit card. Now I'm banking with Chase and I got that card. So it's like, man, just there's something about putting things in motion and saying, this is what I want to accomplish. It's like, hey, just get down your own way and letting the world work for you.
Facts. I think it's important, bro, to know that, like, you can be, like, subconsciously doing, like, your, like, what it, what whatever is in your daily habits is what you're subconsciously going to be doing in life. And I'd say, just like listening to music, even, like, people don't realize they're just listening to these lyrics and hearing things when you can just replace that with audiobook, bro. You know what I mean? It's the, like, slightest change like that could be the biggest difference, because I've even been in conversations, and I don't know if you read books, but, like, I started reading books, bro, and I started speaking things I don't even know what they mean. I was just like, this word, it was used like this in the book, and then subconsciously it just came up, and I'm like, now I'm speaking with multimillionaires and CEOs of companies, and I feel like I'm just educated just from, like, reading and listening to audios, you know what I mean? And creating habits like that is so important, bro. And so, yeah, it just goes along with everything that we're talking about, but for sure.
Yeah, no, and that's huge too. I appreciate the fact you talked about, I got all my books behind me. Like, I'm a avid reader, but literally in 2017, I took a class, one of the most impactful classes I've ever taken, was with Dr. McMillan at Fresno State. I was taking my master's class, and it was, all we did in the class was study successful people. We studied, like, Steve Jobs, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Oprah Winfrey, all these successful people, and all of them read. And I kid you not, in 2017, you couldn't pay me to read a book, bro. I'd be like, bro, I'm not going to, you could give me $200, but, like, I don't care.
Bro.
I'm not going to read a book. But then I take this class and it's like all these successful people, it's like they all have routines. They're all doing this. They're all reading books. They're all chasing stuff. And I think one of the kind of key things that motivated me to read. I remember Kevin Hart, I was listening to a podcast and he said, most people will spend their entire lives, I mean, 50, 60 years studying one subject and then they write a book on that subject. And you could digest that whole 50, 60, 70 years of expertise. You could read a book in 3 or 4 days and all of a sudden you've gained all that information that they spent a lifetime on. So I think that's just super important to kind of understand that. And I mean, I know you've built like your reputation in social media space, but I think this podcast more than anything has kind of proved that, I mean, you're a lot more than a football player. You're a lot more than just an influencer. Obviously we know now it's like you're a child of God. That's been a huge part in your life. But what's the side of Ramel Dockery that people don't see online?
Shoot, I got OnlyFans. No. Just kidding. Nah, but the side that people don't see, I'd say a lot of it is personal, but my family comes first, after God. So I you know, everything that I do, I try to do with intent to get my time back to spend with my family. And I love doing like side missions where I just like, I love taking like, I always get fans that come up to me and I love to just give back, bro. I'd love to give back to my community. I love to do God's work in my community and just do what, you know, Jesus would do. So like the viral videos and the millions of followers and the millions of views is cool, but I love, being low key and just, you know, making changes in my community. And, that's why I'm kind of headed towards right now. I have the series that I'm dropping on YouTube, that I was working on all summer. Some people at Oregon State are in it. Isaac Samalu's in it. Alex Austin from Oregon State, he's in it. I got a couple other Oregon players in it too. It's a day in life series. And then it's central, the focus is mental health. And then I shot some, documented some kids that are coming up, in my community to give them a spotlight. So yeah, bro, I'd just say like, that's something that I feel like a lot of people don't see is, I love to just pour back into the next generation, and that's where my focus is now moving forward to.
Yeah, no, that's huge, man. I think it's interesting how it seems like God always seems to bless the people who are willing to bless others with their blessing. So I think it's awesome that you're starting to give back, or you've always been giving back. I know that's been at the front of your brain for a long time, and being able to have just the resources to do it now is awesome to see as a friend that's been watching for a really long time. And I think just kind of in closing, I mean, for you, I mean, just we've kind of covered a lot of different topics, but I mean, what's the best piece of advice, I mean, you'd give a high school athlete trying to balance sports, school, and building a personal brand?
Yeah, the best advice I could give is to just never let anything define you. Kind of like, you know, I could have let football define me and not been open to any other opportunities. But just know that, you know, if you're great, you are blessed. You know, I always say all my affirmations to them, and just tell them, you know, if they want something in life, don't let anything define you. If one road closes, don't stay focused on that. You might miss the opportunity or the blessing that God is trying to set you up for. I've always, you know, had that mindset to where God's, and maybe you're not a person of faith, but you know, I respect everyone's beliefs, but I am. And I would say, God, always trust in God's plan. It's way bigger than you can imagine. Just like how football, one door closed for me. I could have missed that door to be able to impact, you know, I'm changing lives, and I have kids in Brazil and Germany messaging me. And that's like the best feeling ever, bro. It's more fulfilling than football could have ever gave me. Knowing that I'm, you know, helping a kid's life in Germany or Japan in Tokyo. You know what I mean? So, yeah, just don't let whatever you're doing define you, and just have faith in whatever you do. Yeah. Believe in you.
No, that's huge, man. And I appreciate you taking the time. And the last thing I always like to kind of close off with is, obviously, I mean, we've touched on a ton from, I mean, just the adversity you've kind of dealt with while you're at Oregon State to kind of the delayed gratification and time you put in since 12 years ago when starting with just the Call of Duty trick shots and kind of growing it to the empire you've built now. But just with everything in between, I mean, if you were to, for whatever reason, just hypothetically, say I forgot to hit record or something like that. Say all this entire podcast just got wiped out, everything's gone, something happened. What's like one or two pieces of information that you would want to leave the listeners with if everything disappeared and you had, let's say, call it three pieces of life advice from Romel Dockery?
Three pieces of life advice. Is this like specifically for athletes or what?
This is just the general public. So let's go one for the general public and then two specifically for athletes listening.
For athletes, wait till you're great to date.
There you go.
Is something, bro. Yeah, girls are dream killers, bro. So,
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I'm not really good at dropping quotes. I need to get some quotes on
There you go.
my
Wait till you're great today. I like that one. I've never heard
God
that
is
one, so that's a
king.
one-liner.
Oh, yep. Nah, but for real though, I say you gotta believe in yourself more than anybody else. Don't wait for a coach to believe in you. Don't wait for a friend or a parent. You gotta learn how to start believing in yourself. Also, I say wake up every morning with the intention to get better. Speak greatness into yourself. Look yourself in the mirror. Speak greatness into yourself. It's gonna be, a lot of people look for happiness in a partner, but that comes from within. So learn that right away. I say it's. I've seen, I've had cousins and family that have, passed away from just depression and just not knowing, how to find happiness within. And so just know that it comes from within. Invest in your mental health. It's important. It's something that a lot of people don't take serious nowadays. And just keep faith and just know you're great.
I feel like you kind of set me up there, man. You act like you didn't have anything to say and you just started
I'm
dropping some bars on us. But no,
weak.
I appreciate that, bro. So yeah, I mean, so a couple here. We got wait till you're great today. That's a bar I've never heard before, and I like that one. Have self-belief in yourself. God is king. And make sure you guys are investing in your mental health and just know that your happiness is self-happiness, and you're the one that's the main motivator of that. So, dog, brother, I mean, I appreciate it. And I'll always have that respect for our relationship, no matter how often or frequently we're talking. Just because, like you said, I think when you
Facts.
know someone's working as hard as they are at their craft, I know we've played phone tag a couple times and you'd be like, oh, my bad, bro, I missed you. And I'm like, man, I'd be more worried if you were answering the phone all the time and trying to talk to me for an hour. It's like, hey, we both got things we're doing. So it's like when we
Yeah,
do share
facts.
time and spend time, it's of value. So I appreciate it, brother, and always will appreciate our
Likewise.
friendship. Yep, no doubt. We'll appreciate you guys taking some time. You make sure you guys subscribe to it, check it out, share it with a friend if this impacted you in any way. But Doc, appreciate you, brother. I'll check you guys out.
Of course. All love, bro. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no doubt. Peace.